Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. Tesco are in the news at the moment, or in the ads at the moment, because they have a community ad on at the moment saying Tesco Ireland give out 200,000 free community meals every month, which is a phenomenal figure. They've given 7 million, I think, to Temple Street. It's just a list of the various things that Tesco have done. But a number of our listeners have contacted us, and I mentioned this earlier, about Tesco. The Tesco store in Wexford, for example, is the one they're thinking of. They've put up nets in the car park, and the nets apparently are to try and catch pigeons. Now, they're not catching pigeons to sell them. I presume it's to try and prevent pigeons coming in. And a statement from Tesco says, the supermarket, the netting was initially put in place as a safety and hygiene procedure to prevent pigeons from accessing the roof space and dropping feces onto the customer's area below. That's the reason. Now, Shane, good afternoon. Shane O'Brien.
Hi, how's it going? How are things, Joe?
Shane, do you understand why Tesco are putting up these nets?
Yeah, I understand what they're doing, yes.
Okay, what are they doing?
Well, if they're in the car park, they're obviously soiling people's cars. There'll be an awful lot of mess off of pigeons.
So?
But pigeons also carry different diseases which can be transmitted to humans, which can be like as in salmonella.
And how are they transmitted, Shane?
Through the dirt, through
the feces. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you keep pigeons.
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
But do you shoot pigeons?
I do. Yeah. Different times of the year, farmers will ring me up and ask me to go and do crop protection for them. Shoot wood pigeons or shoot feral pigeons for them.
But Shane, how do you keep pigeons? How are you a pigeon keeper and a pigeon killer at the same time?
Well, do you eat meat, Joe?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah. Well, not of course,
okay.
I do.
No, of course,
very,
but you do,
very,
yeah.
Very little, yeah.
You know, like, you're eating...
I love it.
You eat beef, or you eat chicken, or you eat ducks,
yeah.
Or whatever it is. But then you can still appreciate looking at cows in the field, or sheep, or lambs bouncing about, you know?
So why, are the nets to catch and kill the pigeons in Tesco, or the nets are there to deter... Like, would the pigeons see the net and then turn back and tell his mates...
No, well, you see, it all depends. If that's an indoor car park and they put up nets and they catch the pigeons in it, there has to be somebody there to go and dispatch the pigeons if they're caught in it or release them, let them out, you know?
But say there isn't a facility.
Here tomorrow, buddy.
What does a pigeon die of if he's caught in the net?
He'll die of starvation or dehydration.
Ah, that's cruel.
Yeah. Well, you see, the other part of it is there could be pigeons that have nests in the car park. If they have nests within the car park and they put up a net, they're going to stop the adult pigeons from getting in to feed and feed their youngsters or sit in the eggs or sit in the youngsters and keep them warm. So you can't just do it and just walk away. There's a duty of care. Like, although I shoot pigeons and I shoot crows or rabbits,
yeah.
I don't willingly go out there to cause absolute carnage or be deliberately cruel. Like, there's a job to be done, but there's a duty of care. There's a way to do it.
And why do... You're saying you're shooting pigeons for farmers.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do farmers hate pigeons?
They don't exactly hate them. It's just... In the next, say, 6 or 8 weeks, you're going to look out across the field and it's going to be all golden colour. That's wheat or barley, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is the pigeons know at a certain time that the crop, the seed, and that is going to be soft and milky. And what they'll do is they'll land into the field and they'll start turning the stalks of the crops and bending it over and eat it. And then they'll lay it flat. And they, like, if you get enough pigeons in, they will do damage to 1 acre in a day. And then every day they'll just keep coming back and coming back until it's completely destroyed. When that's flat, the farmer can't harvest that crop because it's flattened into the ground. It's done. It's over with. You know, so.
But Shane, how can you shooting one pigeon deter other pigeons?
Well, I don't shoot one. Like, I'll be there for 8 hours in a day, and I'll shoot up to 100 pigeons in a day.
Oh wow!
Yeah. But nothing goes to waste. I eat the pigeon. If I shoot rabbits, I eat the rabbits. You know, I keep ferrets because I use them to hunt rabbits as well. So I shoot crows. I use them to feed me ferrets throughout the year. Nothing is wasted.
We have a statement in from Tesco. Following, they're blaming it on. Well, they're saying it's the customers. It's they're following the customers. Following extensive customer complaints, I presume in Wexford, of heavily fouled walkways, we've installed nets to avoid pigeons settling in the structure of the underground customer car park of our Wexford store. This safety netting was installed by a specialist service, obviously, and it's designed not to harm any birds, obviously. You hardly deliberately try and harm birds, but it's operated in line with our health and safety policy to protect colleagues and customers and with the welfare of the birds in mind. Mm-hmm. In recent days, some antisocial behaviour, and they blame animal rights people, some antisocial behaviour resulted in the nets being damaged, which resulted in several birds settling for a period. What does that mean? Settling for a period means caught, doesn't it?
Well, in English.
Yeah. We have since ensured the boards were removed safely and have repaired the netting. Please be assured this is conducted with the welfare of the boards in mind. Now, you're happy with that?
If I set a trap for a rabbit or a crow or a fox or whatever it is, I have a duty of care to check that trap twice a day, right? So although you're going out to do a job and you're going out to catch an animal, it is, but you want to do it with the least amount of stress. If someone just puts up nets and Tesco's and then walks away and thinks, I don't care, but that's the job done and I get paid, and pigeons are getting caught in it.
What they're saying is it was the good people of Wexford who rose up once again, as they did in 1798. They rose up again without pikes this time and said they're sick of the pigeon poo on their shoe and they want nets. Tesco said they did it for the people of Wexford.
There's no problem putting up nets, but you just have to check. You know, it's just like I said, you have a job to do. Like when the farmer rings me and he asks me to shoot pigeons, you know, when I shoot them, I make sure they're dead. That's it, and I take up everything. I leave nothing behind. Mm-hmm. You might see a bit of trampled grass, wherever it is, and that's all you know that I was there. There'd be cartridges taken away, the whole lot. There's nothing left behind, right? And that's the job is done, and I know the job is done. I can go home and sleep sound at night, thinking, well, I done a good job, and nothing was left behind. To go and set a nest, do it like, and pigeons are going to get caught and getting trapped in it. That's wrong. Like, as a person who keeps pigeons, like, I understand. Mm-hmm. Pigeons are fairly clever. They're fairly intelligent. But, you know, like if you walk into the net or get caught up in the net and are stuck there, it's a slow, agonising death. You know, like you try to do without water for about 12 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
The sun beating down. There's a duty of care to the animals, you know. But the pigeons are in there. I wouldn't say it's because there's food being left in it. If it's in an underground car park or in a covered-in car park, they're nesting in there. That's why they're there. You know, have youngsters in there.
But there's poo on the shoe of the boys of Wexford and the girls of Wexford justify that possible, not deliberate, by the way, I'll add that, but that possible cruelty to birds, pigeons, which gives so much joy to so many people, like yourself, who keeps pigeon in a loft or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm saying, does poo on the shoe outweigh the welfare of the bird?
Well, like I said before, it's like they do carry diseases. They do, and like a lot of diseases that the boars pick up is because of humans and nothing else. You know, they're there because
I've never heard of anyone getting salmonella from a pigeon.
Okay, yeah,
I've heard them getting salmonella from a dodgy chicken. They bought in a supermarket.
Well, pigeons are considered poultry.
And yeah, but people don't eat pigeons in Ireland.
I do. And loads of my family, friends, neighbours, they all eat pigeon, I guess.
And what's it taste like?
Lovely. It's a slight gamey taste. It's kind of like duck.
You roast it?
Yeah. Mushrooms and onions. Gorgeous.
Okay, so if I had a racing pigeon, would that be regarded as fast food?
Well, it depends. They don't usually kill the fast ones.
Okay, what are the ones you keep, Shane?
They're called Birmingham Rollers.
Okay.
So What they do is you release 20 at a time, and they'll be judged over a period of half an hour, and they spin the somersaults backwards and spin down. So some of them, like, in a spin, they can drop 15, 20 feet, 30 feet. There's competitions then as well. There's the World Cup, European Cup, there's an All-Ireland, and fellas come from all over the world to come and see the boards in Ireland flying and competing. I've gone over to the UK, watch fellas in the UK compete. It's good hobby and interesting, you know.
And we're a great pigeon country in terms of a hobby, aren't we?
Yeah, well, we're in Ireland, we're kind of, it's unusual with regards to the rest of Europe, where when pigeons are sent to France, it's across two seas, where in Europe, it's all across the land. In the UK, they can just cross the ocean once, you know.
So where pigeons are better travellers.
The Irish boards are better, yeah.
Okay, stay with us. That's Shane O'Brien in Dublin. Joe with RT.ie, 1850 715 815. Joseph Kavanagh is in Wexford. Have you seen this netting above Tesco in Wexford to catch the pigeons, Joseph?
No, Joe, I haven't. I haven't seen it. It's all like, as I said, a machine. You can stop birds from coming down. But they're used out in fields. But I don't see any problem with a netting. I mean, there's several nets can be got that don't harm the birds, you know, so...
But the purpose of the netting is to stop the board, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So a board flies into netting.
Yeah.
Say his leg or his wing or his beak gets tangled in the netting.
Yeah, but Joe, there's netting. It's just like fishing and going out fishing to set nets for certain fish. There is netting you can get that won't. You can actually with a screen in front of it that no board can get tangled up in it. You know, it's like a plastic screen. It comes down like. You remember those shutters they used to have all the butcher shops, the blinds, you know, for...
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, because anything like that can be done.
Why don't they put up the blinds? Why do you need the nets?
Well, it's the one you're talking about must be down in Wexford Town.
I know.
It's like a car park. The Dunleary Shopping Centre car park where they're all opened, you know. And I don't know. That particular shopping centre, I think, is quite close to the sea, Joe. Might be seagulls
as well. Okay, Joe at RT.ie. Peter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You did the netting. You are the man.
I am the man.
And you are the company. What was the tender? What were you asked to do?
We were asked, Joe. The reason the netting has been done, it's been done under health and safety because of the droppings that were on the ground, which people were actually walking through and contaminating and bringing across contamination into the shop.
That's the reason
the thing is done. Yeah, it's to do with health and safety. Now, can I just guarantee, I've just been listening to the show, and I've been dealing with this over the last week or 10 days with people that have been concerned, and I've been dealing the best I can with them. Now, there is escape hatches all throughout the net, completely. We have what's called a bird gate. So when the bird actually walks on the net, he actually walks on this, falls down through it, and he escapes. No harm done to him whatsoever. No harm. And they are all fitted completely throughout the net. That's what they are. So no birds whatsoever have been harmed. Not one.
Okay. And how does a pigeon know where the escape hatch is?
From walking on the net, because he'll search and look for a way out.
Okay.
He'll walk along the net, and as he walks along the net, there's a little plastic cup. If people want to go in and have a look at it, they're welcome to look at it. It's a little feathered cone, and they actually fall down through it.
So
it allows the bird to escape. They're specially made for netting. Because of the area being so big and because there's so many RSJs, there can be a pigeon, a hide within an RSJ that we're not going to see.
Yeah, in the beams, yeah.
So then when he comes out of that, and unfortunately we mightn't be there, he can escape out of it. Now, it might take him a day or two to escape out of it, but he does. But the other thing, can I say, like, we finished this job over 2 weeks ago, and I have been there as late as yesterday to check and see, has any pigeons been caught behind this net? Last Friday, there was 4 pigeons shot behind the net. As of yesterday, there was not one pigeon left. Every pigeon had escaped that was caught behind it, unharmed, totally unharmed.
But you say they could be caught for a day or two?
They could be caught for a day or two, yes. But that wouldn't be going to do them any harm whatsoever.
Water, foods, young, chicks.
But there was no young in it. These were all what's gone. These were all newly painted RSJs. There was no young there whatsoever.
Okay. And is the
no young. That was all checked for. I dealt with the National Parks and Wildlife. I dealt with Wexford SPCA. I've been in contact with them on a regular basis while this job was going on. They came in to see us.
Okay.
We explained what we were doing. We explained in relation to the system that we have for letting birds escape in case they get caught behind it. And no birds are actually caught behind the net. There is no net behind the net or anything else. Every bird escapes unharmed.
And once the bird escapes, will they come back again?
Well, they come back. Of course they come back, but they can't get back in. So they will move on and they'll move to somewhere else and actually build again somewhere else. As simple as that. It's only in there because it's dry and because they're protected in there.
So they're using the underground car park as a loft, so to speak.
They're using it as a loft, yeah. And unfortunately, like with the droppings that were coming on the ground, it was it was really in a bad state. So they were power washing the whole time.
Is that what you do, Peter?
That's my profession. We've been involved with this for 17 years. And we've gone out of our way and above and beyond to make sure that we never harm any wildlife whatsoever.
Okay, and who else would ask you to get rid of pigeons or birds or...
Joe, listen, I genuinely am not going to go into that because, it can be anybody. It can be anybody. It's a wide variety of customers that we would have. But I'm only ringing in relation to, I heard this going on about Tesco, and I'm only ringing to just let people know that there was no birds whatsoever harmed, and all birds have escaped. As I said, I was there yesterday to inspect it again. There is no birds behind the nest at this stage. It's completely clear. Now, the one problem we did have is the reason we actually got four birds actually caught in there in the first place was that somebody had been coming in the evening time and cutting the net, which we had asked people not to do because they were only making the job worse and making it harder because the birds had got out and then they were allowing the birds to get back in again. You know, so, like, as I said, there is no birds there. There's no need for anybody to worry whatsoever. All the birds gets are in
but
there.
But why did Tesco in Brighton take down the netting?
I can't tell you that. I have no idea about that whatsoever.
Tesco, I'm reading from the Brighton Observer. Tesco scraps netting after fury over trapped dead pigeons in seaside town, which is Wexford as well.
Yeah.
Tesco has removed the netting at a soup. This was 6 months ago. After shoppers were furious, pigeons had got caught in it and died. The supermarket.
Well, obviously, Joe, pigeons got caught in and died. They didn't fit it with birds yet. So obviously, maybe it wasn't the professional company that done it. And for that reason, they don't know anything about what's called a bird cage.
Okay.
But
and
as
you,
I said,
you
if
were
anybody,
saying,
anybody wants to have a look, they will see that these bird cages are fitted. We have a minimum of 50 or 60 bird cages fitted within
bird
that.
Cages, okay.
We have zips.
But Peter,
you said you were
getting traffic on this over the last fortnight.
I was dealing with it both with the WSBCA. And with the
Tell us, because it was callers who alerted us. So tell us about how did you get on with those complaints?
Well, I try to deal with everybody as best I can. It's as simple as that, and reassure them. You know, we're not in this game to do
harm
to birds. It's our profession, so I mean, it's our best interest to make sure that everything is protected.
Well, you're not in the business to do any deliberate harm to birds.
Not a bit.
Could you do accidental harm?
Well, as I said, the reason for the cones, the escapes, is the fact that even accidental, it shouldn't happen. The birds have a way of escaping. It's as simple as that. It's there for them. They're fitted. We make sure, especially, we say, you know, from the months of March on, when birds start to build, if they do start to build, there's a way there for them. If one gets caught in a corner, there is a way of escape for them. It's as simple as that. But that's the best we can do. As I said, it's down to health and safety. That's totally down to.
Is it a long-term fixture, the nets?
Oh yeah, it's done now. It's dusted.
There seems to be a lot of anti-pigeon sentiment around. Aisling Thompson, Aisling, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Sorry, Joe. I'm actually on my way to another call. So
Peter, I really appreciate it.
Is no bird harm whatsoever. We wouldn't do it as a company.
And he's the MD of the company who put up the nets and he contacted us. Aisling, go ahead. You hate pigeons as well.
Oh, no, Joe. A wood pigeon, like the first man was talking about, that he shoots and eats. Lovely, lovely to listen to in the early morning and the evening time. But the feral pigeons you get around town, they're an absolute nuisance. You see them in Houston Station. They nearly come and take your sandwich out of your hand.
Yeah.
No, you don't need that kind of thing. And as they put up the net around the car park...
But is it not, Aisling, is it not the circle of life?
Oh, of course it is. We have to live with these things.
Do you not love to hear the cooing of a pigeon?
Oh, I do. A lovely wood pigeon. Absolutely, Joe. It's lovely to listen to. But them old pigeons that you see around town going around with the limps and the wonky eyes and everything, they're full of disease. You see them in Houston Station. You see them in all out car parks, high-story car parks. They're all in the rafters and all. But sure, what their problem was in Wexford was that the people were going in through the car park and what the pigeons were fouling on the ground were being brought into the supermarket. You can't have that. That problem has to be sorted.
Yeah,
you know, you can't. We've all have to wear masks going in. Pigeons, you know, poo, as you were calling it, on our feet. No, we can't have that. You know, it's not health and safety. You know, but I do like pigeons, Joe. I love to hear them. Wood pigeons now. And you can eat them. They're nice. I wouldn't eat an old city pigeon.
So when you say you like pigeons, you're saying I like the taste of the pigeon.
Oh, well, I like to hear them. I like to look at them as well. Not just
okay, say there, Aisling and Carlo. Paul O'Hara is in Carlo as well. Paul, pigeons, yes or no?
Well, I would agree with people not being exposed to the pigeon droppings. There's a condition known as pigeon fancier's lung. Now, there's a medical term on it, but that's well known.
But it's very rare.
And it's not very rare, I'm sorry, it's not, but because a lot of people don't know they have it. It's very hard to diagnose.
If you don't know you have it, what does it do to you?
Well, it's fatigue, breathlessness, general malaise. Like people, it's like ME, would affect people like ME.
And do you know anyone who ever got pigeon fancier's lung?
I do.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that then.
Now, normally what arrives...
So why don't we ban pigeons then?
Well, it's a matter of people take... we could ban lots of things that are dangerous, like motor cars and things like that. So,
yeah, well, cars and engines will get you from an accident to a hospital in three minutes. You know, they have motor cars in the main are good.
But George, is an acceptable level of benefit to people. And it's like known as the poor man's racehorse, the pigeons and so on. But if people who keep pigeons, this normally affects people who keep pigeons.
Okay, it's called PFL, pigeon fancier's lung.
Pigeon fancier's lung. When they clean out the pigeon houses, they get exposed.
Unless they
wear proper masks and so on to protect them. From breathing in the fungus. Okay. The fungus is within the droppings of...
Well, where I come from in Dublin, every second house had a pigeon loft. Every second house. I never heard of anyone with PFL.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you look into it, that's it. But it's very hard to diagnose. A lot of people are sent on for lots of tests, other things. Hmm. And sometimes it goes away because they're not able to continue with the pigeon, so to give them up, and then eventually they might get a bit better. But it is it can be a long term illness, especially if people keep exposing themselves to it over and over again. And it's a lung disease.
Sounds awful.
I can imagine.
Well, that's COVID. COVID attacks the lungs as well. That's awful. Stay there, Paul. Magella in Wexford, you disagree with the nets.
Yeah, well, Tesco's in Wexford town put up nets because there was pigeons who used to roost and perch on the ledges. And to keep out the pigeons, then they put up these nets. But they trapped in baby pigeons, squeaks, who couldn't get out. I mean, there was funnels in the nets, but baby pigeons couldn't even use those funnels. So they were left in there to starve to death. And their mothers couldn't get into them because the nets prevented the mothers from going in to feed the baby squeaks. And also there was adult pigeons flying around and they were just left there day after day. Day after day, you could see the pigeons flying around and they couldn't escape because they didn't know about even though there was funnels every so often in the nets, the pigeons didn't know about them, so they couldn't get out. And if Tesco's had the goodwill, they could easily have managed it so that the pigeons were all left put out before they erected the nets. As they were putting up the nets, they could have ensured that there was no pigeons left behind trapped but they didn't have goodwill.
But we had the man who installed the nets, and he said no pigeons were harmed in the making and the installing and the installation over the last week by those nets. But you're saying that's not true.
Well, that's a lie.
It's not a lie. It's what he saw, in fairness.
Yeah, and he said that people were cutting the nets. He said people came back in the evening and cut the nets. The birds got in, and that's where the trouble was caused.
And who was cutting the nets?
He said, I don't know who they were.
Tesco said somebody was cutting the nets. Are they animal rights activists?
Well, maybe they thought they were doing right by cutting the net.
Doing right by the pigeons.
By the pigeons, in their opinion.
And what do you think of the argument that they're pooing everywhere, poo on shoe, shoe on ground, and then marching into the frozen food aisle covered in pigeon poo? Have you noticed? Yeah. Have you been in Tesco in Wexford Town? Magella, have you been in that?
Yeah, I have been in Wexford Town.
Are you wading through pigeon poo?
No, there was no. It didn't bother me, but what I'm saying is, even if they put up the net, what they could do is ensure that the pigeons are outside. You know, they didn't have to trap pigeons in. The issue is that these pigeons were trapped in there. They couldn't escape. They were left there to starve to death. They were there day after day. Mm. And the baby squeaks also. They couldn't get out. The funnels that were every so often in the net. Like, if there was no pigeons trapped inside them, why were the funnels on the net? The funnels were on the net because they knew that there was pigeons trapped inside. But also, there was baby squeaks who can't fly. So the funnels were useless to them. So Tesco's knew that there was pigeons trapped inside because that was the purpose of the funnels. But the pigeons weren't aware of the funnels, so they couldn't get out. My issue isn't with Tesco's putting up the nets or not wanting the pigeons there. My issue is with them trapping pigeons inside and leaving them to a slow and miserable death. Because day after day, you could see the pigeons flying around, looking to escape, looking for food. There was no food. There was no water for them. And you could see pigeons huddled together on the ledges. These were adult pigeons, and they were all pucked up, and they were just left there in misery. And there's no excuse for that. There was no need for Tesco to do that.
Well, I'm only discovering through this item that a lot of people think pigeons are very dangerous. Pigeon fanciers lung, salmonella. Willie, good afternoon. You run an air conditioning company.
Yeah, I'd like to say, Joe, is we have service engineers, and by the way, we don't service Tesco's.
Okay, no worries.
Right, but we do other retailers. Yeah. But one of the things is that service engineers have to service the air handling units, which are mainly in either the car park or in the roof space.
Okay, good point, yeah.
And the problem is that the fetuses are on the filters. Now, they will be stopped going into the store, but our engineers have to handle these. Now, under our health and safety, we have to have them removed. We are not allowed. Their fetuses is quite dangerous to our engineers.
So pigeon poo has to be removed by a separate company.
Not only the pigeons and the pigeon poo have to be cleaned before we can service the plant under our own health and safety plan.
And what are the dangers from pigeon poo?
The sickness is mainly respiratory.
My God.
It's quite serious respiratory. So I actually have no sympathy on pigeons in a built-up environment.
Okay.
And I have no also sympathy with seagulls because mainly they're on roofs and they're attacking you like bombers.
Well, that's a ruthless attitude. How would you like to be left to starve today?
Being honest, how would you like if you had an engineer that's 3 to 6 months off the road because he's got a respiratory problem?
Has that happened?
It's happened
off the road because of respiratory problems.
Because this disease affects the lungs and it's highly, highly a huge problem going forward.
And how many engineers do you have who suffer from this disease as a result of contacting?
I personally have none.
Zero engineers.
Have you ever encountered
any engineer with this problem? Ever?
We have through our association.
So where is this engineer to be found, this engineer who suffered from respiratory problems?
Both in England and in Ireland already.
How many of them?
By the Health and Safety Authority.
How many of those engineers with respiratory problems as a result of encountering pigeon feces and urine?
Well, my answer to that is, how many people have fallen off a scaffold? So it's the exact same.
No, but you're not answering the question. You're not saying how many engineers. So you're saying this supposed illness that they might get, but yet no engineer you've ever known has ever got it. And for
now,
that then, pigeons have to be left to starve to death for a whole week.
Hold on.
And to die of the hunger
and the thirst. As a director of a company, you have to prevent risk.
Mm-hmm.
And risk, we manage risk. So if we know someone has fallen off a scaffold, we make sure that we have...
Yeah, but that's a completely different issue. Scaffolding is a completely different issue.
No, it's the exact same issue. So we have to prevent...
That's not, really. If one of your employees falls off a scaffold, God forbid, if one of your employees falls off a scaffold, you could be sent to prison for negligence.
And by the way, I can equally be sent... I'd have a fine if I do not highlight the risk...
Okay.
Of pigeon droppings, and if I don't highlight the risk that they should be removed and that the droppings should be removed, I actually have the exact same risk.
Okay, good point.
That's a completely different issue, and it's the exact same risk.
But Willie, what about people who have pigeon lofts in suburban areas invariably? It's a great hobby.
No difference to your own area. Half of Ballinfermot had pigeon lofts.
I know
that, Joe.
Yeah.
But what they don't realise, first of all, they're in an open area. They're actually not. And if you look at how they build a pigeon loft, it's completely different to an underground car park.
Okay. There's
They have a landing area.
Yeah, an entrance,
they have an area,
egress. Yeah.
And you look at it. It's actually done completely different.
But one of the reasons why you keep pigeons is that they're homing pigeons. But does that not mean that a pigeon who set up his home in a car park, when you block the home, the pigeon is homeless? Because that's what they'll come home to.
Invariably, they only move about a metre away.
Okay.
And that's what we have found, and the same with seagulls. The exact same thing with seagulls.
And have you much... What's the story on seagull poo?
Seagulls is mainly a problem on roofs where they actually come out and attack you when you're serviced.
Yeah.
About 50% of air-conditioned air handling units are on a roof.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And seagulls are quite territorial. And if they're nesting up there...
Yeah, okay. Like all animals.
They won't be nesting in the air.
Well, you shouldn't be interfering with their nest. You shouldn't be interfering with them.
Well... Hold on, we have to service the plant. We have to make sure that people are safe within the building.
But you shouldn't be interfering with seagulls' nests.
We're not interfering with seagulls' nest.
But why would the seagull become an area if you weren't interfering with their nest?
If you go on a roof, the minute you go on the roof, the minute you walk out a door, then seagulls will start diving at you.
And have any of your staff ever been injured, Willie?
No, but they've been attacked. They have been attacked, and they've been attacked regularly. We know the buildings it's on.
Okay.
And that's quite regular. So we actually have...
Well, they shouldn't be interfering with the seagull's nest.
We're not interfering with the seagull's nest. We said we're servicing the air handling units. It will be a maximum of about 5 metres away from the nest. And they still attack you.
Maximum.
Minimum. That's my mistake.
But Majella, do you believe... Well, it seems to be irrefutable evidence that pigeons carry salmonella, that pigeon's poo carries PFL, pigeon fancier's lung.
So do humans carry many diseases, numerous diseases. But whether humans or pigeons, they should not be left to starve today.
Good point, yeah.
The point you're making is that Tesco's could have got those pigeons out of there and left no pigeons behind, squeaks or adult pigeons, and to not have done what they did, which was cruelty. They inflicted misery and cruelty.
They're managing their risk, Joe. They're managing their risk.
And can you...
We have a risk. I'm sure Tesco's have the exact same safety risk as we have. They're managing the risk. The risk
that
is
higher. That isn't risk management. Anybody could have taken... The pigeons could very easily have been taken out of there.
Yeah.
Baby squeaks and the adult pigeons could have been taken out when the nets were erected.
How?
Like, could you chase them out? Could you chase out the pigeons?
No, because they'd come back again.
No, but hang on. Could you chase out the pigeon?
And, yes, and they could be.
On a Saturday night... Oh, what Tesco opens 7 days a week. Could you shut the car park for a day, chase out the pigeons, then shut it down, and they'd have to go somewhere else?
Yeah, exactly. The pigeons could have been chased out. And
so, can this lady tell me how we chased them out?
What they did in Mao's China in 1957. With the boards, the lunacy of it. They got everyone to go out on the street and the road and the fields and the farms and to bang pots and pans so the boards stayed in the air and they all dropped dead after a few hours of exhaustion and starvation. No, I don't want to happen that, but you could go in and make... you can go in and make a noise and the pigeons would fly out. That's my point. Chase them out. Okay.
And by the way, what about the droppings then?
Yeah, but the droppings wouldn't be in a public space then. They'd go live somewhere else. Does Magellan not make it? Like, what do you want, Willie? What would you like done with seagulls?
Well, on seagulls, what they do is they put a pretend raven up on the roofs, and it's a dummy raven, and it prevents them from coming near us.
Well, that's a good one. That's very straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, but it does work. It does work.
I've seen it.
Some companies use, and some of our clients use, some sort of a noise emitter of a raven. So, in other words, a repeat.
But that's very humane, Willie, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Neve. Your
Hi,
point,
Joe.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I am in town working in a financial institution, and they have this, like, fake hawk on the end of a wire.
Yeah, yeah.
And it flies around with the gusts of wind. So, I mean, could they not use something like that instead of, these nettings? Because if your man is saying that they're caught for 1 or 2 days, that's okay. But, I mean, well, it's not okay.
What about the young
that's sitting in a nest waiting
to be fed? And many times does the mammy board come back of an hour even with... It's every 30 seconds they're flying in and out. I think they could, a couple of hundred times a day, they need to come back in and feed their young. Willie says, Willie just heard him say, it's an underground car park, Niamh. That's the problem. You can't put up a windy
unfortunately, like a lot of these car parks, I know a car park that, on the north side, and it's full of them as well. I don't know how they're going to resolve that issue because that is a big problem
But Willie is pointing out the way they sort out the seagulls is very humane. So that's Magella's point. Is there a better way of doing it? Okay, Magella, Willie, Niamh and all our callers. Thanks. Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Brian is on our WhatsApp number, which, by the way, you might jot it down. It's primarily for voice messages. 087 184 3709 if you want to leave a voice message in 087. But if you leave a voice message on the WhatsApp number, 087 184 3709, it could be broadcast, so you need to give us your permission. Brian, you say, I'm writing to you with the hope that someone from the hospitality industry is listening. I've been working within the sector for the past 20 years. I'm finding it extremely difficult to find employment, yet the industry says they can't find staff. How many jobs have you applied for, Brian?
I've applied for about 30.
And how many interviews have you got?
I've had 15 interviews in the last month.
And how many callbacks have you got after the interview?
I've been 2.
And have you had many job offers?
None.
Were you close in the two callbacks?
I would have thought on the interview performance and things like that, that I would have had.
What's your qualifications?
I'd be a general manager of a hotel.
But there's only one general manager in every hotel, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah.
Isn't that the problem?
No, I'm not applying. I've applied for general manager roles. I've applied for deputy general manager roles. I've applied operations, front office. You know, I'm not just limiting myself to...
Now, how have you managed during the lockdown? Because of the whole hospitality sector, probably, well, definitely more than any other sector that's been hit economically hard despite the lockdown. How have you managed? Were you working up to the lockdown 15 months ago, Brian?
I was working up to the lockdown. I had a position secured, which I was leaving pre-COVID. And within leaving and taking 2 weeks off and whatever, personal time and things like that, the country went into lockdown and my job fell through.
And just gone? No redundancy, nothing?
Nothing, no.
Did you get the COVID payment?
I did.
How did you manage on that, can I ask?
I was put, because essentially I wasn't off the books until COVID hit because my holiday pay was coming through to me.
Okay.
So.
And how did you manage on the COVID payment? It's not overly generous by any stretch.
Look, Joe, I was fortunate enough because I mind my money. I don't want anything out of the way with it. I look after my children, that's it. This time last year, I was in a very good position. In the last 5 to 6 months, it's been very difficult.
And Brian, why do you think, just look at it from, if and this is probably a very hard question to, like, did anyone give you feedback and say, Brian, when you go for an audition as an actor, they say, well, you're too tall, too small, your voice, your accent is wrong, but what feedback did you get?
All the feedback you get is great. You're a fit. You're the same mindset as ourselves. This is what we're looking for. And ending up a Zoom call or an interview, it's I will be back to you, and it's normally I'll be back to you in 3 or 4 days. And
how many Zoom call interviews do you reckon you've done at this stage?
Oh,
10, 20.
I've about 10 Zoom call interviews done.
Okay, well, what are they like?
They're fine. Look, it's different. It's different, obviously, from
Can they get the cut of you in a Zoom call, Brian?
Well, they can't. Look. Yeah, look, you have to sell yourself, essentially, in an interview. And without feedback from an interview, you're not actually learning. So
Are you getting feedback?
No. None whatsoever.
You should nearly be obliged to give. Well, then you see, our company's afraid of giving feedback legal traps.
Yeah, you don't need to. But, like, at least give some form of email, phone call, whatever the case may be, to say, look, we've moved on with a different candidate. At least let someone know. But, like, if someone says to me that they're going to ring me or call me or contact me in some shape or form on a particular day, I would expect out of courtesy, if nothing else, that they would call me.
Just help me here, Brian. In the job of general manager.
Yes.
Like, you know in a recipe, if you're looking for a walnut in a recipe, a hazelnut will not do. But right. You know what I mean? But did they say to you, actually, Brian, this is not what we're looking for? But I would have thought a general manager was a generic role, so it wouldn't be that hard to fit in.
Look, every employer is different. And look, they're looking for certain attributes, right? Okay, and that's fair enough. But if they're willing to take the time to actually contact me in the first place, or to contact anyone for that matter. This isn't about me per se today.
Okay,
this is about
everyone
within hospitality itself. And I'm sure there are many that are actually going through the same thing.
Now, are many hotels, do they advertise directly or is it all recruiting companies and agencies now?
It's recruitment. It's they go directly on Indeed, jobs.ie.
Yeah, yeah.
There's loads of them there.
And are you registered?
Like I'll give an example. I dealt with a recruiter last February, so February 2020. Okay.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard one single word from him until last Wednesday.
Okay. And what did he or she say?
Said, I've two roles there. How are you getting on? How are things? Now, all during lockdown, I'd been emailing.
Yeah, but
this
it was not
a particular recruiter. And nothing back.
Yeah, but
they were Joe, they were posting positions.
I know what you mean, okay.
Right. So you're applying for them, you're hearing nothing back, and you're saying, God, what have I done? Right, so you move on.
And what do you think yourself
and then
it is?
He rang me on Sunday last week, and okay. He said, I'll be back to you regardless.
Hmm.
And I'm still waiting for that call. Because I actually have to say to recruiters now, I'm a big boy here. I've dealt with enough things in my life, like someone telling me that they don't want to hire you or whatever.
Hmm. You know, it doesn't really. You're in the business since 1996, which is what, 25, 26 years ago. But can you go back to any of the places you worked in before that might be getting back on their feet now?
Well, I haven't. That's kind of a thing where you don't go back unless they ring you. To the same property, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they might know you're still with us, Brian, which you are very much so. You know what I mean?
That's true. Valid point, yeah, valid point. But my main thing here, Joe, is look, it's the lack of courtesy and the lack of actually compassion from, and it's not just hotels. It's recruiters. It's the industry as a whole.
Yeah, and as you say, we've been told you're still there, yeah. Every vox pop you hear on every station is saying we can't get staff, we can't get staff, we can't get staff.
Yeah.
What size hotel could you be? Do you have to work in a particular size hotel?
No, Ryan? Because look, I've covered from anything from 250 bedrooms down to 60 bedrooms.
Are you prepared to move anywhere in the country?
Absolutely.
Are you? And
anywhere in the country.
And what about, can I ask about family or...
I'm divorced.
Okay,
Joe.
So where? Well, that's clear. You're basically saying I'm in my car this afternoon if I get a job.
Basically, yeah. Okay. My life fits in the boot of my car, Joe.
Okay.
But like the main thing here is like, it's to get the point across that just make contact with people. Like myself personally, look, I can go for an interview now. It won't put me up or down. And I'll go tomorrow and I can go every day next week. But I know of certain people that actually, they suffer anxiety from it.
Well, I know that.
They spend, say, 2 days
and
prior.
What's wrong with me? And they say, what's wrong with me?
They're researching.
Yeah.
They're spending tomorrow thinking about what they're going to wear. And then they go to the interview and it's all a build up. Like it's 3 or 4 days. But it's back to, right,
your qualifications are... general manager in a hotel, so you'd be multi. You have lots of tasks. You're not looking for a specific job in a kitchen. You're looking for a general job, which you've done for many years. Sandra is on the phone. Joe at rt.ie. Sandra, your 18-year-old daughter.
Hi, Joe. Yes, my 18-year-old daughter. She's doing her leaving this year and is looking for part-time job or full-time for the summer, then part-time when she goes to college. But she has applied for 80 jobs and has not had one interview.
Oh, God. And why do you think that is, Sandra?
I have no idea. A lot of them, the applications are online through an app. So from what I understand, that the initial application, a lot of them are read by robots and don't even make it to, be seen by a real
person. And what type of jobs is she applying for at 18?
She's, the sports shops, any of the shops. We live close to a big shopping centre.
Okay, yeah.
Or, a takeaway, anything. She has applied for anything. And
is it a full-time job she's looking for?
She applies for whatever is advertised that comes up on the app.
But at 18, is she doing her leaving cert?
She is, yeah.
And is she sitting the exam or has she gone for the assessment?
She's, She's doing half and half, Joe. She's doing five exams, yeah.
Okay, fair play to her. But is it the fact, as Brian says, that you don't get any response?
Very little response. A few, she's had a response to just say unsuccessful.
And what do you mean robots are reading the applications?
This is what I've been told, that when the applications are drawn through an app, like there's an app for
they're looking for certain words and certain phrases,
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So she's at this minute just left the house. She's gone over to hand out CVs now. Oh, she gets some.
She's a bit of go on her, that young woman has.
Oh, she does. Hasn't she's she? Very Fair eager play to have her. A job. Yeah.
Fair play to her. Brian, and Brian, back to yourself. Would you? Yeah. What have you plan B?
I'm kind of out of ideas, Joe. To be honest.
Okay. Would you plan at the moment is
actually try and move from the profession. Like I'd be lost in the net somewhere.
Would you emigrate?
I'd love to.
Would you?
But my children are here in this country,
That's it. Absolutely. Is the rejection, Sandra, knocking your daughter's confidence?
Oh, she's totally deflated. Gone out the door today. Yeah.
You help her now. I know you will help her in that. That's nothing to do with her.
But Joe, if I can just come in there for a second.
Yes, Brian. Yeah.
I've been at the side of having to look at CVs. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would come back from, say, 2 days off, and I might have 150 emails in my inbox.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
And I understand the sector is very busy at the minute, trying to get X, Y, and Z ready and this and that, whatever. But without staff, you can't actually do that. You can't. Mm. It doesn't happen. But I've gone through, I'm not going to go through 150 emails. In a day.
So what do you do?
I go through the top 5, maybe 10, go from 1 to 15, 15,
you mean the forced,
20, whatever
the forced,
it is.
The forced
ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll go through. But then what I always would have instructed is, it goes back to HR and said, please send out. No, it is a generic email that goes out.
Okay.
Saying, terribly sorry, you haven't you haven't reached, blah, whatever.
Okay.
And it goes out. Okay. But at least it's contact. You know what I mean?
Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Jobs, and they can't get the jobs. Anne in Wexford, you've looked everywhere for work and you can't get... Do you get interviews?
I got a few interviews, Joe, and I thought sure on numerous occasions that I had the job, but I didn't. I've applied from Waterford, Kilkenny, Dublin. I've gone to Dublin, but Dublin is very expensive at this stage to live in.
Yeah, of course. But I still
applied for work in Dublin. I'm a good, strong, hard worker. I've worked since I was 16 and a half in the hotel industry, actually, and I've worked in manufacturing. The film industry, reception work, office work, not the higher level office, but just office assistant.
And why did you leave your last job? Like, Brian was effectively made redundant because of the pandemic. Why did you, was that the same with you, Anne?
The job I was in there for 19 and a half years, and I was an excellent worker, which I was told that also.
Okay.
And in 2000, I was there 1988 to 2007, and from 2005 to 2007, I was bullied from my position.
Hmm.
I had to end up walking out, which I shouldn't have walked out.
Okay.
But I had a terrible ordeal.
All right.
I haven't had full-time work since 2007.
Oh, God.
It was the month of my birthday, actually.
Okay.
That I had to leave my place of work. I gave everything to the company.
Yeah.
Did everything. Right.
Okay. Well,
and
I don't want to go into a
safe. I had to go back and do my leave insert 7 years ago. Then I did media. Then I was in work for 5 months. That job ended because they had to lay off staff, unfortunately. And then I was in an office job then for 3.5 months. Unfortunately, they just wanted me for the 3.5 months because the other lady was out. And I, in my interviews, I went into well-known shops, one or two of them, and I was asked in one interview, two interviews actually, oh, you don't have retail trade, don't? And I said, no, I don't. I have customer experience from the hotel industry. And then he rang me back and said, I can't get you past your exam. An exam, Joe, just to, you know, to serve in a shop, small exam. So I passed that. I passed the interview. But because I didn't have a retail, I wasn't offered the job.
Okay, well, is there not jobs now in hospitality, Anne? From what you hear in the interviews, a lot of the hospitality sector are saying a lot of our staff, because we were the ones locked down the longest, and it's insecure even the way it's opening back up again, but they're the staff that disappeared. They that didn't disappear. They're the staff that got work elsewhere.
Yes.
Now, maybe there's openings there, is there? Are you with a recruitment agency?
No, you see, this is what's happened, Joe. It's all this recruitment
That
you have to go through, and you could be picked for 3 or 4 days. Like, you know, at this stage of my life, I don't want to be, you know, 3 days here and 2 days there.
Okay,
I just want to be in full-time employment over and done with, because I'm not 18 or 16 anymore.
Okay.
But, you know, it's all this, you know, I came from the old school of where you hand in your CV, you post in your CV. It's all computerized now. I went into my local library and I put in the USB. I sent off some of the CVs.
Yeah.
But all the time I was getting back, your CV has failed. It hasn't went.
Well, can you put it in the post?
You know, it just...
Put it in the post.
No, because sometimes you just give an email address.
I know.
But what's happening to... You know, it's getting very, very heavy going at this stage because asked to go into a library, then you're worried if there's a virus going to be on your USB key.
There won't be. And when you go into the library, Anne, ask the librarian to help.
I got worn out. I'm worn out from it, Joe. I'm just totally worn out.
Don't be worn out. You've great experience.
I'm completely and utterly worn out from trying to handle that system of sending it through the internet.
And it's gone very... But you're working since you're 16. That's an incredible record.
What does that tell you, Joe?
I know, brilliant. Don't be cast down.
I own my own house. I worked hard for it.
Yeah.
I've had 3 cars in 20 years that I owned myself.
Okay.
I went on holidays, and a lot of them were expensive holidays. I mean, if that's not showing somebody that I've worked hard, what is? And, you know, I have to say, Joe, I'm going to tell you this. I asked somebody that was, shall we say, maybe an authority, shall we say, it's not to do with work, about something that I was worried about, right? I'm not going to go into the issue,
you might like me to go into it.
And you know what the person turned around? You know what he actually said to me? Very abrupt about it. And I'll just say it in his manner. He turned around, because I was worried about something, right?
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with work. But he turned around and said, and what are you working at? In that tone of manner.
Uh-huh.
Now, he didn't say anything else. But do you know what it made me feel like? It made me feel like, was I a layabout?
Yeah. You're not a layabout.
Now, he didn't use that word.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's
the feeling I got when I walked away. He had no right to talk to me like that.
Okay.
I have searched all over the place for work.
Okay.
People know that I own my house, that I've gone on expensive holidays over the years. What is that showing people? But
that you're a good walker. That's what
exactly
shows me.
I
really would, Anne. I know Wexford. I know it's not the answer, but I really would. If you're doing stuff in the library, Wexford libraries are brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah,
I've experienced
brilliant,
at Gorey. It's
point.
Brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant library.
Sorry, Joe.
They will help you, and they'll help you, and they'll help you confidentially as well.
No, but I actually inquired from young people that were in their 20s, and I said, sending these CVs is getting very awkward, I said. And the young people told me that it was extremely hard. They're young people, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
You go into, you go in with your USB, you go down through the system.
Okay.
You know, it says, you know, continue. It won't let you continue half the time. Then you go to send it in your file. It won't allow you to send it in the file half the time. The CVs are not going through. And, you know, Irish Jobs are advertising now, Joe.
Well, there's nothing, Anne, I agree with you on one thing. There's nothing that annoys me more that when you go into a website and it says contact us, the phone companies do this a lot. All they give is an email. There's no postal address. Shocking. Okay, and say with us, 51551, my John.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Go really electric with an EV or plug-in hybrid from the Kia e-range.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
When we were talking to you today, the calls we got asking for, some people looking for certain texts on the Leaving Cert English course to be censored or abandoned, basically, that you were unsuitable. I mentioned the Ryan report. I mentioned I was reading recently about Upton, and I was also reading a book called Memoirs of a Survivor by Christy Fleming. And I'm pleased to say Christy Fleming is on the line. I hope. Christy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. And I'm grateful to have you on my show.
Thank you, Matt. And it's great. It's great to be talking to you, Christy. Your book is absolutely incredible. It's jaw dropping. I'm so sorry, Christy, for the pain and the upset and the assaults that you went through. So in the hands of the state when you were in Upton. Where are you from originally, Christy?
I'm from Dublin, from Pear Street.
And how did you end up in Upton Industrial School or Upton School down in Cork?
Well, I was sent to Upton because I refused to go to school at the age of 12. I wasn't getting any, doing any good. I still couldn't read at 12. And you my mother was taken to court, and then I was put away.
And what year was that, Christy? In the 50s?
It was in the early 50s, mid-50s. Okay. I was 12 and a half.
And when you arrived in Upton at 12 and a half, what was that like?
No, I didn't go to Upton then, Joe. Okay. I was sent to a place in Cork City called Greenmount Industrial School.
Okay.
And that was run by Presentation Brothers.
Right.
And they closed down after a year.
Okay.
And we were then transferred to Upton.
Which is a million miles away from Dublin.
Yes.
And what was your experience in Upton was generally horrific?
It was much worse. It was much worse than Greenmount.
Yeah.
In Greenmount, I did get a lot of beatings, but there was no sexual abuse involved.
Yeah, because, and it comes up in the Ryan report, Christy, that the Upton, it's just, it's horrific, the abuse that was going on in Upton. At one stage, they made a point about the number of abusers that were in the school at any one time. And they said at one stage, there was four abusers in Upton at the one time. Now, that's absolutely horrific. Were the four of them, do you reckon, working together to abuse children?
Well, I was taken along with four other boys from the school one night.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taken in a van and we were taken off to a house.
Yeah.
One of the farms around by the school.
Okay.
And that we were all four of us, five of us, we were actually abused then. We were given drinks and biscuits, and then next thing I know, I passed out.
Yeah.
And I woke up completely naked in the bed.
Good God. And many men, you were taken from Upton by members of the Rosminian Order.
Yes, I was.
Okay. You were taken to another building, and you have many men, do you reckon, were there abusing the boys that were taken?
There was four men. One was a farmer.
Oh, okay.
And two of them were Romanian brothers.
Rosminian, yeah.
They're a very old priest. He never touched me, but he was taking photographs.
My God. And the boys were raped?
Yeah, we were, each one of us.
By the four men?
Yeah, they took us one at a time. They tried to do it to me in the bed, but I woke up. And I kicked off, and I tried to run, but they grabbed me and they put me across the back of the chair.
Good
God! And held my head down. One of the brothers held held the chair down so I wouldn't rock. And I was naked, and I was raped like that.
And Christy, in the Ryan report. Now, the Rosminians were very cooperative with the Ryan report. Well, they'd no choice. I mean, they did admit The Rasminians admitted for the Ryan report that they believe that a lot of boys who were actually sexually abused didn't come forward to the Ryan report. But this is what the Ryan report found. For more than half the relevant period that they investigated, which is about 20 years, there was at least one abuser working there. For more than one third of the period, there were two abusers working there. For periods of years in the 1950s, there was at least three abusers there. In the course of two separate years, there were at least four abusers present in Upton at the same time. That's hell, Christy. Hell.
I know. Yeah, I know. And the thing is, those brothers who didn't abusers knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And they kept silent.
And then if superiors found out or heard allegations of abuse, they just moved them to another children's home.
That's right, yeah.
So abusers. Right. Stay with us, Christy, back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I'm talking to Christy Fleming, the issue of Upton Industrial School. Christy has just published a book, Christy, called Memoirs of a Survivor, which is a fantastic achievement, Christy. Congratulations, a fantastic achievement. Christy,
you
then joined the Irish Army. What was your real age when you joined the Irish Army?
I was 16 and I was only about 5'3.5".
And what age were you when you were sent to the Congo?
17.
Wow. And how did you get on? The Congo was rough now.
Oh, God, it was terrible, the Congo. I mean, I looking back on it, it's a great experience to have. But it was horrifying what was going on there. I mean, I got involved in all the fighting that was going on there.
Yeah.
And I never expected when going over there that I'd ever have to discharge my weapon.
You're right, you were only 17 at the time, for God's sake. Okay, the line is fading, unfortunately, and I'm so looking forward to talking to you. Christy, have your children read the book?
Yes, they have a problem reading some of it.
I can understand. And what do they think? Yeah. What do they think?
Well, they actually told the story. It took long enough to get it out there, but I needed it. Because and I need to talk about there any anger in my tone, because the anger's gone.
Great. And how many children do you have now, Christy, and grandchildren?
I have four children and three grandchildren.
And you're living in the UK?
Okay,
I'll just read. That's a terrible pity now. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And Christy Fleming has developed strength to deal with many adversities that life has thrown at him. From the industrial schools of Cork to the battlefields of the Congo, proudly wearing, by the way, Christy, the Irish uniform, he has shown the same indomitable spirit that has also seen him through chronic illness. He suffered from epilepsy, as he details in the book, and depression. These are the memoirs for one man, but are an inspiration to all. And I can definitely agree with that. Christy, I'm sorry about the line going, but I wish you well. I know it's your first radio interview and it's your first bit of publicity for the book. And I know you're in Essex, but hopefully we'll on another occasion. But I cannot recommend it highly enough. I know there's some extraordinarily difficult passages to read, jaw-dropping passages, but we need to be reminded that this happened in Ireland and the religious orders who perpetrated these, I know they've changed, and they said they've changed, but the religious orders that perpetrated and stood over and hid these crimes are still in operation today, and they say they've changed. Christy Fleming, Memoirs of a Survivor, it's available from onstream.ie, and they also say it's in every good bookshop. Well done, Christy Fleming. It's an honour and a privilege to talk to you. It really is. Fergus Sweeney produced. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.